Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Morning. How you doing? All good? Great to see all of you this morning. I bring you greetings from Woodlands Center, where I'm usually based, and it's such a privilege to come and share God's Word with all of us this morning. After service one Sunday, a congregation member came up to the preacher and said to the pastor, "Pastor, your sermon reminded me about the peace of God and the steadfast love of the Lord." And so the pastor was very happy. He thanked the congregation member and turned and walked away. And he was just so happy giving thanks to God until he recalled to mind that the peace of God passes all understanding and the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And so he wasn't so happy after that and had to work harder on his sermon. So I'll do my best to keep my sermon simple and short this morning. Not everyone got that joke. Short and simple, otherwise you might give me that same feedback and you might not feel that you've received any gifts from me today. The sermon text is John 14, focus on verse 27, and the title is The Gift of Peace. When we think about peace this morning, our response may be, "What peace? What peace? How can we have peace when there are so many natural disasters in various countries? Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, typhoons, hurricanes, floods, landslides, forest fires, drought, famine, and all this intensifying year by year due to the climate crisis. How can we have peace when there are so many armed conflicts in many parts of the world? The Russian invasion of Ukraine, Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, Sudan's civil war, the Myanmar military's persecution of the Rohingya people, and the crackdown on Myanmarese citizens who oppose its rule, and etc., and etc. All these have brought about widespread death, destruction, internally displaced people, disease, physical and food insecurities, lawlessness, severe hardships, bereaved families, maimed people, orphaned children, and an uncertain and bleak future. So we may ask ourselves, what peace? Even without the wars, there are so many conflicts. How can we have peace? These conflicts may be between different ethnicities, maybe between friends, between family members, and even within ourselves. Huge conflict going on within ourselves, where sometimes we hate ourselves, we loathe ourselves. How can there be peace? Many of us are feeling troubled and afraid. Well, this morning we'll explore the meaning of peace with reference to Jesus' words. But before we begin, would you join me in prayer as we ask God to help us understand and apply His word to our lives? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live in a world with so many people struggling with great troubles and deep fears. Those close to us as well, and maybe ourselves personally. Lord, as we think about peace today, help us to understand your peace. Grant us understanding by your Spirit so that we can draw near to you and receive afresh your gift of peace today. In your name we pray. Amen. So the main scripture text we have today is John 14:27. Before his trial, crucifixion, and death, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Just one verse, it tells us a number of things, but a key thing that I want to draw to our attention today is that regarding peace in life, we have a choice between accepting the peace the world offers or receiving the peace that Jesus gives. Because Jesus made this distinction in verse 27. And so we're going to explore this. This is a choice that we have. And first of all, let's consider accepting the peace that the world offers. I'd like us to just pause for a moment, think for 30 seconds. How would you fill in this blank? To me, peace is the absence of what? Okay, 30 seconds. Let's think about that for a moment. What will you put in that blank for you, for yourself? Just one thing. I know there are many things, but settle on one. How will you fill in that blank? Okay, you got it? Okay, would you turn to your neighbor and share with your neighbor your one thing? Okay, just turn to your neighbor, share that one thing. To me, peace is the absence of what? Some funny answers I hear. Humorous ones, but they're serious ones, they're humorous ones. Okay, wonderful. How many have put conflict? Conflict, can I see your hands? Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. What about violence? Anyone says violence? Okay, no one says violence. Okay, you can't have peace when there's violence, right? Crime, how many says crime? Okay. Pain, anyone? Suffering? Sickness? Yes, sickness. What about noise? Noise, okay. Absence of noise. Okay, wonderful. There may be some more, right? Trouble and fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety, anyone? A lot, huh? Okay, good, thank you. Now, let's consider it from another angle. And let's do the same thing, but this time, to me, peace is the presence of blank. Presence of what? What will you fill that blank with? Okay, just a few seconds. All right, think about that. Okay, now you can share with your neighbor. Again, same neighbor. To me, peace is the presence of what? Okay, thank you for participating in this because this is a good way to help us understand, all right, what is our understanding of peace. Okay, so how many says something like quietness? Quietness, okay? Yes, Pastor Matt and a few others. If Pastor Matt says quietness, that's the model answer. How many says stillness? Stillness, serenity, calm. Okay, order, harmony, good, wholeness, anyone says wholeness, well-being, safety, security, okay, I saw one hand there, justice, maybe some say God, presence of God, how many says, wow, a lot there, very good, well done. Okay, let me give a couple of definitions. First one from Cambridge Dictionary. Peace is the freedom from war and violence, especially when people live and work together happily without disagreements. So basically, it's talking about conflict, absence of conflict. Rather narrow. Second one is co-pilot. This is AI. I asked it, what is peace? Peace is a state of tranquility or quietness, free from disturbance or conflict. It can refer to the absence of war and violence, as well as a sense of inner calm and harmony. Peace can be experienced on a personal level within communities or between nations. It often involves mutual respect, understanding, and cooperation. What does peace mean to you personally? Well, ask me back. You know, this AI, very clever. So I'm also very clever. I ask you all, right? All right, next one, the last one, Wikipedia. So you see the AI is a bit more comprehensive. Wikipedia, peace is the state of harmony in the absence of hostility and violence. In a societal sense, peace is commonly used to mean a lack of conflict, such as war, and freedom from fear of violence between individuals or groups. And it goes on to some other categories of peace. So you got different definitions, okay? But they all kind of settle on a few sort of common categories. And we want to also consider this interesting statistics from YouVersion, because we know that there is so much conflict in the world today, right? Between nations, within societies, in families, communities, even within our very selves. And so it is no surprise that YouVersion statistics for 2024, their data analytics tell us that the verse of the year is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, present your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians 4:6. And then verse 7 actually talks about, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? But people didn't select verse 7. The words prayer and peace were among the top in-app searches, two themes that we also see in the verse of the year. So these statistics tell us that more people all over the world are seeking peace through prayer and entrusting their cares and burdens to God, presumably. But what kind of peace are people seeking to receive? Is it the peace that the world offers? Circumstantial, temporal, or the peace that only Jesus can give? Something enduring, something that does not depend on our circumstances. Let's consider this second main point that I have, receiving the peace that Jesus gives. And for that, we really want to look at verse 27 again to see how does Jesus define peace. What is divine peace? Okay, verse 27, let's read it again. Let's read together. Peace I leave with you together. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Here, peace is translated from the Greek word Irene. And some of us ladies here are named Irene. So you are a very peaceful person. That's where you get Irene from. An Irenaic, very peaceful civil conversation and dialogue. So the Greek translators regularly use Irene to translate the Hebrew word shalom in the Old Testament. And Greek scholar Robert Mounds, I thought he was very clear and insightful. Let me flash up his comments on this verse. The Greeks thought of peace in essentially negative terms, namely the absence of hostility. In Hebrew thought, however, peace also designated a positive sense of well-being. Jesus further identifies peace as my peace, the total well-being that results from a perfect relationship to God. It was his peace because he would purchase it by his own death and grant it as a gift to those who would accept it. Peace is a blessing that involves all the positive benefits flowing from Jesus' victory over sin and death. Like all spiritual blessings, it cannot be earned, but must come as a part of the free gift of salvation. He goes on to say, the peace of Jesus differs from the peace that the world gives. That peace, that means the world's peace, depends largely on circumstances, which by definition are in a state of constant flux. Tasker lists as examples of the world's peace temporary freedom from distraction and anxiety, the peace of momentary flight from all that is unpleasant, and the peace of false security. They all fall woefully short of the rich blessings of God's personal presence in the life of the believer. This last statement is very important, because here Robert Mounds recognizes that the peace of Jesus has to do with the personal presence of God in the life of the believer. And we will see this very clearly as we consider a few other verses before verse 27. I want to read it for us. And here we have John 14, verses 15 to 18. All right? As we read, think about the presence of God. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," Jesus told his disciples. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." A few more verses. Verses 25 and then including verse 27. "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We see a better context, and you see very clearly that the peace that Jesus gives is the total well-being that results from a perfect relationship to God and encompasses the rich blessings of God's personal presence in the life of the believer. How do we know that? The Spirit of God is the presence of God. And the Spirit of God comes to live in believers in Jesus Christ. Only such persons as believe in Jesus Christ will have the Spirit of God living in them. So that relationship with God. It's very clear to me. I hope it's clear to you. We have various references to God's Spirit in those verses that we read. In ESV, it says, "Helper, another helper, the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit." Helper is translated by the ESV from the Greek parakletos. Greek parakletos. And literally in Greek, it means one called alongside. One called alongside, okay, to help. And that is, for example, to encourage, to exhort, to strengthen. However, this may have unhelpful overtones of being subordinate in rank, right? Helper seems subordinate to the believer, right? But it's not, right? Because in the Psalms, the psalmist refers to God as my helper, right? But some other translations, they choose to translate it as advocate or counselor. Those are also not entirely sort of sufficient. So it's very hard to define parakletos or to translate it in English because there's no equivalent word. Okay? This help by the Holy Spirit involves active assistance and it extends beyond the legal sphere. So Jesus told his disciples that after he leaves them, they will have another parakletos, another helper, to take his place. Because he will ascend to the Father, right? He'll be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then the disciples won't have him with them anymore. But he says that he will ask the Father, and the Father will send in Jesus' name another helper, someone who will continue the ministry of Jesus to the disciples, of being with them, strengthening and helping them in the journey ahead. And so we see very clearly from verse 27 that having divine peace is all about having the presence of God with and in us. I hope you kind of grasp this. Having divine peace is all about having the presence of God with and in us. That's why the peace that Jesus gives, the world cannot give. The world cannot give you the presence of God. Only Jesus can do that. By paying the penalty of our sins, dying on the cross on our behalf. That allows us to receive forgiveness of sins, to be made right with God, come into a right relationship with God. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can come to live in us, a cleansed and holy vessel. Not because of what we do, but because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and made us holy people. We understand that, right? Only Jesus can give this peace. Since the Holy Spirit lives in every Christian, it is now possible for Christians to have communion with and connection with God at all times and in all places, because the Holy Spirit can be in each and every believer in any part of the world. If Jesus is present in bodily form, he is fully God but fully human, he is localized, right? But the Spirit of God can live in believers wherever they are. And that is how we have communion with God. That's how we can communicate with God and have that connection with Him. That God is with me, no matter what, no matter where. So God's presence is with us and in us in good times and in bad times, in pleasant places and in painful places, while we are enjoying freedom and while we are suffering persecution. For Christians, having the presence of God means God with us. God says, I am with you. It means God for us. God says, I am for you. And God in us. God says, I am in you. And that's what we were singing in the last song, the blessing. Very profound words. God with us and God in us, in the weeping, in the rejoicing. And the blessing that we can give to others is to help them to know Jesus and to receive the gift of peace that only Jesus can give. So the blessing is really a prayer for one another and for those who have yet to know Jesus. I want to share with us very briefly about Ryan Lim. Right, Ryan Lim is 15. He is a covenanter. He worships at Woodland Center. He's part of the visual crew over there. And he was diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis when he was 5. By the time he was 15, the disorder plus other complications had caused his liver to fail. He needed a liver transplant, otherwise he will die. The story tells us about the peace that Ryan and his family could experience in God, despite the long ordeal they had to go through. By the end of August last year, a suitable life donor match for Ryan was found, and in September, he went through a successful liver transplant. Since then, he had been on the road to recovery, and in this long journey, you can't imagine the amount of pain he went through, right? So much hospitalization and procedures done to him, and the pain his disease caused him. He went through a lot of pain and suffering together with his family, experienced many ups and downs, but their testimony was that God had been with them throughout and shown them his faithfulness. And Ryan, he could say that, I know God is still in control. At that time he was going through, I know God is still in control. And it has caused him to turn to God to find peace. He talks with God more. And he prays more and tells God all his problems. He learned to depend on God and to bring his burdens, his cares, his pain to God. In the video, and you can watch this on your own, Salt and Light, okay, they have this video and the article as well. Ryan testified, God has been accompanying me all this while. God never left me. See the presence of God that gives us peace, even in places and journeys of pain. I want to share with us another story, and this one, there's a video that I want to play for us. But first, let me tell you a little bit of the background. George Chen was a Chinese pastor. He died 3 years ago, and he died almost 90. He was 89 years old. And he was persecuted by the Chinese authorities when he was younger. And he spent 18 years in prison and hard labor camp. Nearly 6 years were in that labor camp, and he was assigned to do the worst task, worst job possible in that labor camp. And that was to work in a cesspool. Cesspool is a large, deep pit into which float the excrement of 60,000 prisoners in the camp. And every day, Pastor Chen would be lowered into the pit where he would shovel out the human waste to be used as fertilizer in the fields. But he came to consider this a wonderful blessing because it was the only time he was alone away from the guards. And while he worked, he could commune with God, praise God's name at the top of his voice, and recite scripture verses that he had memorized. He said, I enjoyed the solitude of being alone with God. Yeah, maybe just to say that he was released after 18 years. And then what happened? This man wasn't bitter. He went on to serve the church in China. He planted hundreds of churches. And then he passed away 3 years ago, died peacefully in his sleep while in Hong Kong. This is a photo of George Chen, 2021, age 89, shortly before he passed on. From the video, he said, in those years, one of my most favorite hymns that I used to sing when I worked in the cesspool was In the Garden. Never have I known such joy, such sweetness. While I was working in the cesspool, I heard the Lord tell me, I am His own. I was in the labor camp, I was in the cesspool, but at that very moment, the cesspool became my private garden. He sensed the nearness and the presence of God with him there. And people ask him, how did he survive all those 18 years? He said, God was with me during that whole time. Because He was with me, I was able to praise Him in such earthly misery because He never leaves nor forsakes us. It's a very powerful testimony. He had the gift of peace, presence of God in his life, in that hellhole. One commentator in YouTube said, this testimony convicted me of my complaining and menial life problems and made me yearn for closer intimacy with Christ. There is nothing, no one else in this world other than Jesus Christ who can give such incredible peace and joy despite the worst imaginable circumstances. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world, Jesus said in John 16:33. And so we ask the question, how does a person receive the Holy Spirit and therefore the gift of peace? And I mentioned that earlier a bit, but really it is by having faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, who He is, what He has done for you on the cross of Calvary. I just want to show two verses. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that faith brings us into a right relationship with God. Second verse, Galatians 3:14, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And this is faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God comes to be with us and to live in us. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't know whether all of us have done that. Maybe some of us have yet to. And later I will give us an opportunity to receive Christ. To receive the gift of peace, you must receive the giver of peace. I think this is a profound statement. To receive the gift of peace, you must receive the giver of peace. To receive peace in your heart, you must receive Jesus Christ into your heart through faith. Otherwise, all that you can get is the peace that the world offers. That's all. And it's not an eternal peace. It's not a peace that is regardless of circumstances. So do you want to accept the peace that the world offers or receive the peace that only Jesus can give? If you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ, then God reminds you today, I am with you. Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God reminds you, I am for you. Romans 8:31 and 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And God reminds you today, I am in you by my Spirit. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We must remember God's words and promises as we go through life. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of God's word. That's what we read just now. And that's how peace comes. We remember the words and the promises of God and we hold fast to them and we don't let go. A hardship may be a few years, 5 years, 10 years, 18 years or more. But we don't let go because God is with us. As 2024 ends and 2025 begins, may Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who dwells in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, drive out from our hearts all our fears and anxieties, and replace them with this peace. And as we go into the new year, may we, the people of God, be the channels, waterways, tributaries of His river of peace and blessings to many troubled and fearful people around us. Lord Jesus, cause Your people's faith to arise. Give us faith and courage to believe Your words and hold fast to Your promises so that we can live our lives with Your peace within our hearts and free from all fears. Give us the boldness and gumption to declare to family, friends, and strangers that You, Lord Jesus, are the Prince of Peace. You are our peace. You are our peace. Let us bow as we come to a time of response. Just wonder if there are any of you here today. Let's just bow and close our eyes for a few moments, and we won't rush through this. Wonder if there's any of you here today. You come in here, you're not a believer in Jesus, but you hear this message and you say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe. I want to give my life to you. I want to receive the peace that only you can give." And if that's you, with all eyes closed, don't need to look around, I just want to invite you to raise up your right hand. Raise up your right hand now, and I want to lead you in prayer. Is there anyone? Anyone says, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I want to receive your gift of peace today." Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Don't have to be afraid. Just give us a few more moments. Second group of people I'd like to address are those who have been Christians for some time. And God reminds you of His Word and His promises today. And He reminds you that His Spirit lives in you. Draw close. Draw close to sense His presence, His abiding presence with you. Experience God who speaks to you. Receive and feed on His Word day by day so that the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's Word in times of need. I want to ask us in a few moments as we sing this song, we're going to sing it with a fresh understanding of the peace of God. Just invite us to stand right now. And I'd like you to do this, to sing this song as a prayer of blessing to one another. So those here on my left, could you turn to face this side? And those here on my right, could you turn to face the other side? Just turn. We're going to bless one another as we sing the song.
And I want to thank Pastor Ivan for getting us to do this.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.